Sonny DeRosa presents SAS, the most successful sports information system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent. Rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units. 3 units being a max play. Sonny DeRosa is releasing his Pro Football Game of the Year tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. Call now, 800-741-1122. Confident in this system and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligation. Get the winner of Jacksonville versus Tennessee tonight, absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 800-741-1122. Jacksonville versus Tennessee, free.
North Pole Hotline, Mrs. Claus here.
Help, I'm losing sleep over what to get everyone on my list.
Rest assured, Old Navy's got you covered.
Old Navy?
Yep, the entire store is on sale.
The entire store?
Yes, get up to 60% off on gifts like matching sleep sets and cozy sweaters.
Up to 60% off the entire store?
Plus, sleepwear starts at just $7 and sweaters from $12.
I'm not gonna sleep on that. I need it now.
Buy online and pick up in store for free.
Time to rise and shine.
Holiday your heart out with up to 60% off at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 12/5 through 12/12. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Goodrich.
Oh, I've got news.
Operating costs are killing us. I need you to do something about it.
Already have. I had a ComEd energy engineer analyze our business and create a free facility assessment with energy-saving ideas just for us.
Cool. What's your news?
I got a promotion. I'm your boss now.
Oh.
So I need you to implement these energy-saving ideas.
For a free facility assessment from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, visit comed.com/facility-assessment. ComEd, powering lives. Funded in compliance with state law.
Mike, a Crystal Lake, Illinois homeowner, called a nationally known company when his basement flooded. They removed the damage, but left him to find his own contractor for drywall painting and finishing. If flood disaster strikes, contact Aloha Restoration. Local, family-owned and operated, and with you from start to finish. Aloha Restoration will remove the damage and repair your home to pre-disaster condition. Aloha repairs water, fire, and mold damage in Barrington, Schaumburg, Mundelein, Gurnee, Grays Lake, and all of Lake County. Visit AlohaRestores.com. That's AlohaRestores.com.
The holidays start now with 50 to 75% off at Gap Factory. Stock up on weekend-only doorbusters like cozy sweaters and logo favorites from $9.99. Plus, save big with an extra 15% off only at Gap Factory. And at Banana Republic Factory, save big with 50 to 70% off store-wide. Stock up on sweaters from $19.99 and scarves from $9.99. Plus, extra savings of 15% or more only at Banana Republic Factory. Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store or shop us online.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is where Chicago goes to talk about the first place Bears, the number one and most listened to sports station, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com station, WSCR in HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Hub Arkish is standing by.
Hub Arkish.
I want to talk to Hub.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Talking Bears and the NFL with you.
Hey, what's up, Hub?
Hub, I love you, dude. I've listened to you for years and years.
Whenever you're on, I'm like, oh, wow, wait, great.
Hub, I wanted to get your input on this.
Hub Arkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. He is here. He is nattily attired and ready for your phone calls. We got a couple lines open if you want to jump in. This is Bears. This is NFL. This is whatever you want. He belongs to you. 312-644-6767. How about the Alex Smith news before we get started here?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously very scary and very sad. We don't know a lot. This happens in rare occasions. Had to have apparently a second and possibly even a third surgery because it was a very complicated break, and somewhere along the line an infection has set in. I don't think that he's in critical condition, but he's in very serious condition. And so, you know, right now our thoughts and prayers with him and his family.
We will start with the Franks. Frank in Lakeview leads us off on The Score.
Yeah, I hub.
So the Bears would be looking for a new number two quarterback who's younger and maybe more mobile than Daniels to take his place in the next couple years, not now. So this offseason, maybe they should either draft or look in the free agency, draft in later rounds, or with Tyler Bray possibly be that person. And finally, one other quick question is how did your date with your beloved go last Thursday?
Thank you, Frank. I'll take the second part first. Went very well. Miss Saigon is still a great play. It's a limited run here, so I think it's over maybe next week or as soon as that. So it's a great show. People should go see it. And Candace enjoyed it. Thank you. I forgot the first question. No, I got it. I'm pretty sure it was a two-year deal that they did with Chase Daniel. And I think the answer to your question, Frank, is no, there's no immediate need for panic. In the last 2 weeks, he's played like you would expect a backup quarterback to play. He won one, he lost one. Actually won the one you might not have expected him to, played terribly in the second one. They were very difficult conditions. He's here because of his familiarity with the system. And he's also here as a support piece for Mitch Trubisky. It's more for what he can do for Trubisky than what you expect him to do on the field himself. So I think they're fine with him at least through next year. And then I think you draft one because at that point, Mitch Trubisky, if he's your guy as a veteran, he doesn't need the kind of veteran support that he's getting from Chase Daniels now as much in another year or two. And you develop another quarterback. I don't think Taylor Bray's the answer, but Tyler Bray, I should say, but obviously, you know, Matt Nagy likes him, and so fine, he's here too.
Yeah, what I saw from Tyler Bray in training camp and the exhibition games is nothing.
Yeah, my guess is once they're comfortable that Mitch is back to 100%, he goes back to the practice squad because they weren't using that roster spot until they had to have a backup for Chase Daniel.
Here's Frank in Oak Park with Hub on the Score.
Hub, I got a question about defending RPOs. But first, Burnsy, I'd be a little reticent about introducing a new predator to take care of feral cats.
Why?
Once it takes care of the feral cats, it's going to be going after the chihuahuas that the ladies leave in the backyard.
Oh, I'm certainly fine with that, too.
But after they take care of the chihuahuas, it's going to be coming after you and me. So I think a better option would be like a cat chow with some contraceptives mixed in. So, as far as RPOs, Hub, you talk to a lot of coaches. We see many teams adopting some type of RPO system on offense. The early talk after a few QBs got walloped, picking up their run option, the romance between offensive coordinators and this new brand of attack would wane. But with officials bending over backwards to flag any aggressive hits put on signal callers, that day of reckoning may never happen. I know the easiest way to beat RPOs is to have a superior front seven create potentially 2 or 3 points of failure on any running play. But only a handful of teams in the league have that overriding defensive talent with their linemen and backers to pull this off. The rest have to gamble on where the ball is going and are getting fooled regularly. Mm. Are any DCs looking to shut off at least the pass part of the RPO with tricky man zone coverages on the strong side of the offense where most of the RPOs are run?
Well, you know, Frank, you're kind of in the weeds there in detail, and there's a lot of different ways to go. I think at the end of the day, the reason that the RPOs are as effective as they are right now is in the basic simple nature of it. You don't know if they're going to run or pass the football. So you have to defense both. And if you're going to commit to take away the run, it's going to be very difficult to try and commit to take away the pass. You pick your poison. And I think that what most defensive coordinators are doing right now is not going with special packages for the RPO, but they're developing their game plan based on where the ball goes, whether that handoff actually occurs or not. You know, this offense really is still in its infancy as these things go. It is really just an extension of some of the gimmick offenses originally and now the more sophisticated spread offenses that are coming out of college. And I don't think that we're anywhere near the final evaluation of this. You know, everybody talks about in the Bears case that they're throwing the football so much and they're not running it. It's not because with RPOs you don't run the football. It's called the run pass option, not the pass run option, you know? And so I think you just got to let it continue to develop. You got to see who's successful with it. A lot of it is the athletes that are running it. And I think that some defensive coordinators are doing a pretty good job with it right now if you've got the talent to stop it.
Isn't the rule on some of these things, it was also read option where the defensive guys would just say, no matter what, kill the quarterback, regardless of what else happens. If you're just motivated by that opportunity to smash into the quarterback, just do that.
The only team running this extensively that had a Pro Bowl-type running back was the Chiefs with Kareem Hunt. And so I know that his team's prepared for them. They had a spy on Hunt, and they had a spy on the quarterback. And then depending on who ended up with the ball, that's who the spy went after. The other nine guys played the defense straight up. And so that's one way to approach it. But most teams right now, you don't have to go that far. I mean, you're not going to spy the Bears running back because you don't even know who it is, you know, some of the time. And so far, he hasn't been special.
312-644-6767 is our number. The Bernstein and McKnight Show Hub is taking your calls. Feel free to jump in. Kenny and Zion next on the Score.
Hey, guys. Huge fan of the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, Kenny.
I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on the Bears and their ability to win or not win close games this year. Do you think that's just a product of the team being the first year in the system with so many young players, or is that going to be a huge concern going forward?
Well, you know, I guess first I'd have to go back and tally up what that record is. I mean, they won a close one in Arizona. I guess you could argue Seattle was close at the end. Obviously, they did not win in Miami. They didn't win last week. I'm not sure where they stand on that. I think it's probably the latter, just more as this team develops and we're figuring out who they are. Usually, the teams with the star power, the guy who can make the play, are the teams that are going to win more of these close games than they're going to lose. And the Bears are at a point where on offense, they're still developing that star power. You know, you don't know who the go-to guy is on offense in a close situation. Defensively, you hope that a Khalil Mack or an Akeem Hicks or a Kyle Fuller is going to win a game for you, and they've been doing that. So I think it's more about this offense continuing to develop, and I think they're more than capable of winning their share of close games.
Well, that's why I've been thinking that this game is a marking point for the development of the Matt Nagy offense. If he said, and I don't believe in statements and showing the world where you are and all that stuff, but I do think that when Nagy says it takes time and there's like layers of this offense that come in, this would be a great opportunity to show us that maybe you've advanced to the whatever that next step is.
The fascinating thing about this game, guys, is that the Rams, for all the star power on the defensive side of the ball, their performance does not equal the sum of its parts. They are a second tier defense right now in terms of every statistical category. They are almost every category. They're in the bottom half of the league.
What happened to Marcus Peters?
He bruised a calf on that Thursday night game. I want to say it was week 4. And bruised calfs are really tough. And he played through it and was not the same for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And we know that this is a young man who has some, I don't want to say character issues, but attitude issues, whatever you want to call it. Don't know how he reacted to that injury. Maybe it's all the star power around him. He hasn't been horrible. He did have one awful game. I'm trying to remember where it was a couple weeks ago where he got toasted a few times. It was probably the shootout, actually, the 53-50 game where I think he was the victim.
No Tlaib there either.
Yeah. Right. And Tlaib was out at the time. Now Tlaib came back last week. So, I think that, this probably will be a close game. And I think there's a chance that it is in the vein of that Chiefs-Rams game because, let's be honest, the Bears' defense, as exciting as it is, has probably had its two most questionable games in the last two, the short trip, and then they came apart. They didn't come apart, but they let down in the second half at Detroit and hung on to win that one. They couldn't hang on to win this one, bad second half. So I think you're going to see a lot of points Sunday night.
Miami, Florida, this is Hank on the Score with Hub.
Yes, hello. I was just wondering why Matt Nagy utterly refuses to run the ball in the second half, even when up by double digits. And also, I'd like to know if Hub knows how many games that we have lost that we could have won if he just simply ran the ball in the second half.
You know, I heard Hank from Miami, and I was somehow holding out for Hammer and Hank Goldberg. But
sorry.
Hank, I was told by one of my editors this morning, I'm getting a reputation around town as being incapable of talking anything about the Bears not running the football. It's really not true. I'd love to talk about anything else. And I don't have an answer for your question. The best answer I can come up with, Because I'm tired of talking about the running game. It kind of leads to what we were talking about a couple minutes ago. We don't fully understand this offense yet. And you know, when Matt Nagy came to town, one of the first things he talked about was it takes 2 or 3 years to get the system completely installed and everybody mm-hmm. fully on board.
He did say that, right? Two to three.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 2 or 3 seasons, not years.
Right.
And actually, I think there was a specific conversation where you came away a little disappointed when he said, I don't know if we're a playoff team this year.
Yes.
And what he was leaning on was, I need time to get my offense in. So I think it's two things. I don't know. I do know that I do not claim to be an expert yet on Matt Nagy's offense. Just haven't seen enough of it, still learning it, trying to understand why he does the things he does. You know, he's gotten very good with coach speak. He's very good with the media. It's such a breath of fresh air after John Fox. He will go into some detail. He will answer questions. But then when you go back and go over the transcription, you realize he didn't really tell you all that much. And so occasionally he gets himself into trouble with something like, well, we didn't run against the Giants because they took it away. When you call 30 passes and 2 runs in a half, that's not the defense taking it away. That's you're not doing it. I mean, they can't take it away if you're not doing it. But that shouldn't be the focus. That should